Welcome to the Storytellers Telling Stories podcast. I'm Jude Brewer. There is a variety of ways you may listen.
Through phone speakers.
Your car stereo.
Your earbuds.
Regardless of the delivery system, we invite you to abandon the outside world and vanish for a short while. Wherever you are at the moment does not exist. This week's episode is titled Her Own Special Touch, written and narrated by Jackie Shannon Hollis, with musical performance by Redwood Sun.
All the towns we lived in were small ones, and the one we moved to when I was 9 was smaller than any of them. But Papa said a town like Springs would have plenty of boys to play with. He said small towns were the best place to raise a son, even if people did tend to snoop into each other's business. The yard around our new house was just a patchy square of grass. There were no flowers or shrubs or much of anything except for a bendy, low-to-the-ground tree in the front corner. A few weeks after we moved in, Mama and I were on the porch, taking some sun after the rain. The people at Little's Grocery said springtime rain was good for the farmers. Papa said the wheat farmers were the heart of this town. The street was quiet because all the kids were in school. I didn't know any kids yet, because Papa decided I could wait till next year to start school. It's almost summer, he said. Anyway, you got enough smart in you for the year. He cupped his big hand over the stubble on my head. It'll be good for your mama to have you with her for now. I made a sour face and Papa made a frown. He was at work at the highway the day Mama and I were in the yard. He'd worked all over Oregon for the highway. It was a good place to work because it was easy to get transfers and they had a pension. I hoped we wouldn't get a transfer from Springs. I'd seen some boys playing at the park when we took a car tour of the town. Those boys looked like they were my age. I got up off the porch and walked over to the little red tree. I tipped my cowboy hat back and squinted at Mama. It looks awful scrawny, I said. The leaves were soft. I rolled one between my thumb and fingers. Mama came over and bent down to the hunched tree. That's a maple tree, little cowboy. There was a sigh in her voice. Mama wore herself out in Milton, and Papa told her she needed a good long rest, and she should take her time before she got to know people in this new town. The red leaf between my fingers turned into red dots and goo. I wiped it off of my jeans and tugged the string catch that kept my hat tight on my head. I made a line of heel marks with my cowboy boots in the dirt. The dirt was damp from the rain, and my boot marks looked like some kind of hoof animal had been there. Mama made a sigh again and straightened back up. She looked around the rest of the bare yard. This yard is one big patch of nothing. She put her hands on her hips so her arms made triangles. I heeled my way over to the cement porch and sat on the second step. Mama turned away from the yard toward the street. Her shoulders and elbows were sharp points, and she was still. When Mama was like that, still and pointy, it got inside me and made me still and pointy too. The day we took that car tour of Springs, the day I saw those boys climbing on the monkey bars at the park, I counted that there were 8 blocks on either side of Main Street and 12 blocks going out either way. I'm pretty sure that was the least blocks of any town we'd been in. Mama was quiet that day. She was in the front seat, but clear over by her door, not next to Papa like she sometimes was. Papa said, "This town is a good one for a boy to grow up in, Mariana." That was when we drove by the Blue House that was 4 blocks down from us. "We don't need to worry about what other people here have," he said. Mama's voice was turned away from him. Her eyes were on the Blue House. Papa said, "We have enough on our own." He looked back at me and winked, but there was a wrinkle between his eyes, and it made the wink look sad. The Blue House had a big tree and lots of pink and purple flowers. Mama turned her whole body to keep looking at that house. The side of her face went soft, and the little line she called crow feet almost disappeared. "Oh," she said, "that's a pretty garden." She ran her finger on the window, and it left a smear. She perked up in her seat. "Well, sure." She wrapped her arms like a hug for herself. "This will be a fine town for a boy to grow up in." Her voice had a singing sound in it. Papa had both hands on the steering wheel, tight, like he was wringing a wash rag. Right before we left Milton, our last town, Papa got mad at Mama. I was supposed to be sleeping, but they were making noise. "This has got to stop, Mariana," he was trying to whisper and yell at the same time. "This thing, it just takes you over. You disappear." I didn't know what he meant by that. I never saw her disappear. In the yard, when Mama was still in Pointy, she didn't see the yellow striped cat peeing in the opposite corner. He scratched dirt with his front paws and looked over his shoulder at Mama. I pulled my pistols from my holsters and pointed them at the cat. Bang, bang! If I'd had a real gun, he would have dropped dead sideways. That cat scratched one last time over the wet he'd left in our yard. He went on across the driveway into the neighbor's yard where there was a good long stretch of green grass. The next day I was in the front room playing G.I. Joe when Mama came out of her bedroom. She had on the white shorts and blue top she got in Milton, our last town. When Mama first got that outfit, she said she looked better in it than Mrs. Carter because Mrs. Carter was at least three sizes bigger than Mama. Not that they were Mrs. Carter's clothes, they weren't. They were just exactly like Mrs. Carter's clothes, but Mama added what she called her own special touch. With this outfit, it was a red scarf. Mama said Mrs. Carter would never think to add a brooch, or a scarf, or a jangly bracelet. That night in Milton, when Papa was mad at Mama and I was supposed to be asleep, he said, "First a person feels bad because you take on their special thing. Then you go and show off and do it better. That makes a person mad." He whisper-yelled and sounded like he does when he counts lists off on his fingers. First there was Lydia Arlson's decorating at Primrose. Then you had to go and take Eva Kane's gourmet cooking in Big River and Barb Petrie's artistic crafts in Clayville. Every word was clear in my room. "And this stunt with B. Carter, we're pretty much getting drove out of town for it." There was a sniffly sound of Mama crying. "Find your own damn things to love, Mariana." Mama's sniffs got louder. Papa's voice got quieter. He said, "You can be good at your own things." And then his whisper got big again. "I don't want to keep pulling him out of school." I breathed even quieter then. Mrs. Carter was Ricky Carter's mother. Ricky was my best friend in Milton, and his dad was my dad's supervisor at the highway. Mrs. Carter had big soft arms that make nice hugs. After school, if I went over to play with Ricky, Mrs. Carter gave me and Ricky cookies and milk. Those cookies were always warm out of the oven. Mama got to know Mrs. Carter because I was spending all my time with Ricky. At first, Mama wanted to know what the big deal was. "Ricky Carter this." She tried to make her voice like mine. "Mrs. Carter that." She made her lips pursy in a way that wasn't like me at all. But when she came to Mrs. Carter's house one afternoon, Mama was as polite as could be. She complimented Mrs. Carter on her clothes. When Mrs. Carter's back was turned, Mama looked her up and down. Then she asked where Mrs. Carter shopped. I wish Mama would have taken a taste of those chocolate chip cookies. She could have asked Mrs. Carter how she made them. After that, every time I went to Ricky Carter's house, Mama came along. She and Mrs. Carter had coffee and talked about things. Mama would touch Mrs. Carter's blouse or skirt or whatever she had on. "Oh," Mama would say, "oh, B, that is nice." She even admired Mrs. Carter's fingernail polish. "What do you call that, B?" Mrs. Carter said, "It's coral. Corinthian coral. It just looked like orange to me." At night, I woke up and could hear the needles of Mama's brand new Singer sewing machine going fast. Pretty soon, when Mama and Mrs. Carter were visiting, it was Mrs. Carter eyeing Mama's new blue flower blouse or her flare leg pants that looked exactly like the ones Mrs. Carter had. Mrs. Carter's eyes made a question mark and then a squint. One afternoon, when Ricky and I were playing, there was yelling in Mr. and Mrs. Carter's bedroom. Ricky and I went and stood at the door. Mrs. Carter was on one side of the bed and Mama was on the other. The drawers to the dresser behind Mama were open. Mrs. Carter said, "You're nothing but a thief." Mama said, "I wasn't taking anything." Her face had red patches on it. So did her neck. I was just looking. She folded something lacy and put it in a drawer. "I just wanted to see." Mrs. Carter came around the bed. She took hold of Mama's arm. "You get out of this house." She pulled Mama out of the room. Mama had to walk in fast little steps. Ricky and I were real quiet. Mrs. Carter pointed at me with her orange fingernail. You stay away from my boy. Then she pointed at Mama, her big arm blubbered. You're a copycat and a thief. Mrs. Carter walked us out her front door. You get out of this house and don't you come back. Mama took my hand on the sidewalk that day. I didn't steal anything. She squeezed my hand. You know that, don't you? The red patches on Mama's face were gone. There wasn't any color at all on her skin. Don't tell Papa, she said. Mama's orange-painted fingernails pinched in my hand. Ricky Carter told our business all over school the next day. He couldn't wait to tell it. Then the other kids said things behind their hands and made mean faces that made my stomach get tight. A couple nights later was when Papa whisper-yelled at Mama. That's our nest egg money you spent on all those clothes, all those sewing things. He said that Mrs. Carter had told her husband about Mama. Mr. Carter told Papa that things were uncomfortable and maybe it was time to make a transfer before the situation got worse. The next morning, Papa told me we were moving from Milton. I acted like it was news, but I was ready for a new town. That day in our new house, when Mama came out in her blue shorts and white top, she stood in front of the mirror to tie her special touch red scarf around her neck. She got it just right. Come for a walk with me, little cowboy. Mama opened the front door. The screen door squeaked when she pushed it. No, Mama, I'm playing. I held up the G.I. Joe that had been stocking the glass shoe on the end table. Come on. Mama pushed the screen door wider. It'll be good for you. Her eyebrows were slanted in the way that said, I couldn't say no twice. I scuffed my boots along the floor all the way to the door. That blue house 4 blocks down from us was the one we walked to. Mama stopped right in front of the white gate with a wide arch over the sidewalk that led to the front porch. She looked up at the arch and said, This arch is the crowning glory of the picket fence. She put a finger on one of the pink flowers that climbed up the arch. The way she touched it was soft, and her face looked up at that arch, almost like she was looking up at the sky. The fence that Mama said was picket went all the way around the yard in a line of spears. Those spears would be dangerous if a person wanted to climb up on the tree that reached from inside the yard and spread clear out above the fence. A person climbing on that tree would need a steady foot and a brave heart. Mama looked from the left side of the yard to the right. Her head moved slowly, and her eyes blinked with each move, like a picture camera. A woman in a floppy straw hat came around the corner of the house. She had long scissors in one hand and some purple flowers in the other. She stopped when she saw Mama and me. Fine yard you've got here, Mama said. The woman smiled and started to come toward us. I took Mama's hand and said, We ought to go now. I pulled on her hand, and she pulled back in a jerk that made my shoulder tingle. Ow, I said, and started to walk away by myself. I watched her over my shoulder. Mama kind of blinked, and then she followed me and took my hand. The woman with the straw hat was in the middle of her yard. She put her hand out to us. It was the one with the purple flowers in it. I didn't smile at her or anything. I just pulled Mama along with me. We went back to our own yard, where I aimed my pistols at anything that moved, which is mostly just the leaves on our lonely red tree. Mama sat on the cement porch and leaned back with her eyes closed and her head tipped up to the sun. In the late afternoon, before Papa came home from the highway, Mama got a book of flowers off her shelf. She sat at the kitchen table going between pages in the book and marking notes on the line paper she borrowed from my school supplies. When I eyed her using up my paper, Mama said, You'll get new things for the next year. She covered those pages with words and arrows and exclamations and underlines. That night, Mama met Papa at the front door. She put her arms around him and said, I know what I want. He hadn't really got his full hug in when Mama stepped back. She threw her arms wide and said, I want a picket fence, but not white. I want it to be blue, a nice light blue. And I want it to have an arch over the gate. A slightly darker blue than the light blue of the fence. I took my G.I. Joe out of my pocket. Oh, Mariana, Papa put his lunch pail down on the mat by the front door. Let's slow down now. His lunch pail was black and didn't have any cartoons or heroes on it. How'd you get the idea you want a picket fence? He took his boots off, toe to heel. "You know it's something I've always wanted," Mama said. Papa's eyebrows raised up, like they were trying to remember Mama ever talking about a picket fence. Mama hugged her arms around herself. "This picket fence, the way I'll make the garden, with flowers that bloom all year long." Her voice was fast and high. "And one great big tree for our little cowboy to climb on. It will make this seem like a permanent home." Papa rubbed at his chin and looked at the hole in the toe of his sock. I marched my G.I. Joe up to the pink candy dish that Mama got in Primrose, the town before last. The dish had some cracks in it where it got broke by Mrs. Arlson, and Mama had to glue it back together. The next afternoon, Mama said, "Let's go for our walk," like it was already our habit. We went as far as that blue house. It had a porch that went all across the front, and there were flowers hanging in baskets all along the porch. The flowers were pink and purple and white. I pointed a pistol at one of the baskets. "Those are pretty. If I had real bullets, I could have shot a perfect bullseye in one of those flowers." "Those are pansies, cowboy. They're easy to grow." The woman who lived in her house put her head out the door. "Yoo-hoo!" She gave a little wave and stepped out onto the porch. "You're new to town." She picked up the floppy straw hat from a hook by the door and put it on her head. "Come on in for a glass of lemonade." The lady quick walked to us and opened the gate. I took Mama's hand, but before I could pull her away, Mama said, "Oh, we don't want to take your time." I eased up my hold on her hand and twirled my pistol. The woman shook her head and said, "Of course you do. I've got plenty of time." She looked at me. "Besides, my George would like the company of your boy. He's off school today, feeling a little sick." She looked up at her house to a window with blue curtains. "Nothing contagious." There were two G.I. Joes standing guard at that window. I tamped down Papa's voice in my head and didn't even much notice the sharp and pointy feeling in my stomach. The curtains in that window up there dinned in from the small breeze that was in the air. Two hands came up under the curtain and marched those G.I. Joes toward each other until they were face to face in a standoff. Mama had told me lots of times that we should help people who are sick. That boy George, he was probably feeling pretty bad. Mama and I went through the arch gate. The woman put out her hand. "I'm Jean Shaw," she said. "Pleased to have your company." We stepped into the garden. The air smelled soft and powdery. The pink lipstick of Mama's smile was exactly the same pink as a bunch of flowers by the gate. "Oh my, this is just the loveliest garden," she said. She touched her hand on a tall white flower by the steps. "This sure is pretty, Jean. Now tell me, what do you call this flower, and how do you make it grow so tall?"
Tell me, where did the time go now? Before we know it, you're gonna be 18, grown up, and at the front door, yeah. Look at the lives we live, we were just little kids. Never get better than this, these days never lasted long enough. Run and jump and play, outside every day now. Till the sun went down, just being with our friends. Man, it's good to be a kid again. It's good to be a kid. I swore when you were born, you gave my life brand new meaning. I mean literally, yeah. And I never leave like I told you. Never go away. Past means present, the future. So much brighter it seems. Look at the lives we live. We were just little kids. Never get better than this. These days never lasted long enough. run and jump and play outside every day now, till the sun went down. It's being with our friend, is it alright? Bobby spends the night, I promise that we won't fight. We'll go to bed by nine. Silly how all these things we never dreamed of when we're old. Oh man, damn, it's good to be a kid. Look at the lives we live. We were just little kids. Never get better than this. These days never lasted long enough. Run and jump and play outside every day now. Feel down. It's good to be a kid. Yeah. Damn, it's good to be a kid. Yeah. Damn, it's good to be a kid. Damn, it's good to be a kid.
Wraps this week's episode. I'd like to thank Josh of Redwood Sun. He has a new music video out for his song Telephone that you should definitely check out. We have 7 episodes left. You also might have noticed that today's episode came out on a Thursday. New episodes will now be released every Thursday up until the season finale, which airs on June 6th.
New episodes every Thursday.
Thank you everyone for tuning in this season so far. We're really excited to close things off with something special at the very end. Until next week, I'm Jude Brewer. Thanks for listening.